Let us pray. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we pray that you open our eyes, that we may see Jesus in the Scripture. Open our ears, that we may hear Jesus in the Scripture. Open our hearts, that we may encounter Jesus in the Scripture. And open our hands, that we may serve Jesus in our world. For we ask all this in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, I want to tell you about one of my heroes in life. Horatio was a very successful lawyer in Chicago area. He did really well with his practice, so much so that he began investing in real estate. He began buying properties and buildings, and he was doing quite well. However, things did not stay the same. He had five children, four daughters and one son, and when his son turned 4 years old, he died of a tragic illness. And things went from bad to worse, because one day there was a great fire in Chicago and he lost all of his fortune and investment overnight. And things went from bad to worse and to the worst. Four of his daughters, all of them, were killed in a boating accident one day. Now here's my question. Do you think Horatio was feeling anxiety, that he was feeling anxious about his life, about his wealth, about his family, about his loved ones? Maybe. Well, let's put the question on you and me. Are you feeling anxious because of the uncertainty of the future? You don't know what's going to happen. And when there is the unknown, it is not uncommon for you and me to feel anxious about the future, right? What's going to happen? And it becomes a source of stress. Are you anxious about the safety of your loved ones, about their health? It's quite all right for us to think about the safety and protection of our loved ones, but do we feel being hit by the anxiety of thinking about such things? What about your financial situation? Do you feel anxious? Maybe you are unemployed, or maybe you were told by your boss that you will lose your job next week. Are you feeling anxious? Do you feel the waves of anxiety hitting you time after time? The opposite of anxiety is peace. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I am praying, and I have been praying, that we will receive peace, even in the midst of anxiety. Let's turn to the reading of God's Word. It's from Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Here's a key verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, the author of this book, this letter, epistle, is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was a new convert to Christianity. He encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, and his heart was filled with such peace, peace of God, that he invested his life, his entire life, telling everyone about Jesus Christ. And that's why he went to the city of Philippi, and he planted a church. And he began preaching this peace of Christ to everyone. And people began coming to the Lord Jesus, and they began following Jesus as his disciples and followers. The Apostle Paul had a really soft spot for this church plant. He loved the people there. Okay? And now, so he's writing back, and right out of the gate, we hear these two words. He says in verse 1, stand firm. Stand firm. Take your stand. And also in verse 7, guard. Guard your hearts and your minds. So these two terms, stand firm and guard, these are military terminology. When the recipients of this letter, this book in the church in Philippi, when they received these instructions, they knew right away what the Apostle Paul was talking about. See, stand firm, guard your hearts. These are military terminologies. So they knew immediately, oh, Paul is talking about the Roman soldiers taking the shield and taking a guard, standing firm, standing on their ground, in their ground, and guarding. So what are they guarding? What is Paul saying? Guard what? Stand firm for what? See, there's an enemy. Enemy is attacking the church. And Paul is saying, be on your guard and stand firm. And the enemy is anxiety. Anxiety, because we see in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Imperative commandment. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay? Now, that word in Greek, anxious, anxiety, it's the same word for the word worry. Like in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will eat. Do not worry about what you will wear. Do not worry about this life. Anxiety, worry, same thing. And that's the enemy. Now, what I found really interesting is, in the Greek word, it refers to being distracted. You become anxious when you are distracted. As in, you are filled with anxiety when your focus is not right on what God is looking at. You are distracted by the worries of your life. You are distracted by the challenges that you face. You are distracted by the obstacles that you encounter. So when we focus, and when we're not distracted, when we are not anxious, and that's because our focus is on the right object. So friends, here's the big idea for today. The theme and the goal of this message is this. When anxiety hits you, Jesus' peace lifts you. When the worries of your life, when anxieties that you face and experience, when they come at you like waves after waves, when they hit you and they keep hitting you, Jesus' peace lifts you. And in this text, he does that. Jesus will lift you up in his peace by three strategies, three combating strategies. Number one, God's nearness. Number two, the prayer, your prayers of thanksgiving. And number three, the power of community. So let's get to the first one. When anxiety hits you, Jesus' peace lifts you by God's nearness. Look at verse 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. Jesus' peace will lift you up because of this promise and this truth. God is near you. He is He is in you. He is standing beside you. He is standing behind you. He is enveloping you with His power, with His love, and with His majesty, and with His beauty. He is what? Near you. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, rejoice. Command, imperative. How often? Always. Not only in times of goodness, not only in times of happiness, not only in times of health and employment, but always rejoice. And that's because you can rejoice always in the Lord. And that proposition, in the Lord, is very critical. Paul is not saying rejoice when God blesses you. He's not saying rejoice for what God is doing in you. He's not saying rejoice because of the circumstances that are going really well. No, he's saying rejoice for what reason? In the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord. And that's where the peace comes from. That's how Jesus will lift you up in the peace of God. The fact that Jesus is in you. He is residing in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you can show your gentleness as an evidence. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. Let everyone ask you, hey, how can you have this gentleness, the peace, the serenity of the mind when you are facing all these obstacles? And that's because you say to them, I am gentle because I am experiencing peace, for God is near me, for God is within me. This past week, I was praying with a number of prayer warriors at Mosaic House Church. We pray Tuesday morning, we pray Thursday night, we pray Sunday morning. Now, they don't all come to three prayer Zoom rooms, but they come one of the three or more than one. But one of the sisters, she prays the Lord on Tuesday saying, I want to thank God because I feel His presence. He's near me. And he said, you know, I was given up for adoption as an early child, and I've always felt forsaken by my biological parents. And that was really taking a hold of her, negatively that is. Okay? But she came to know the Lord, and previously in this past week, she was reading the Bible, and the Lord said to her, though your father leave you, though your mother forsake you, I will never, 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 ever leave you. And that's in the book of Hebrews 2. It echoes that promise of God. How much God loves her. How much God is committed to her. He's saying, child, I will never leave you, never forsake you. I am near you. And that really lifted her up. She experienced peace instantaneously when that truth came into her life. Remember, when anxiety hits you, Jesus' peace lifts you by God's nearness. Now, let me also say this. We are to stand in guard, right? We are being told to stand firm and then protect this peace that God is giving to us from the enemy. Another enemy is the devil. And let me read James chapter 4, 7 and 8. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Let me repeat that. Resist the devil, and what's he going to do? He will flee from you and come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, God has come near to us already first. He always takes the first step, and he is living in you. He is encouraging you. And therefore, with the power of the peace, we can say, Satan, flee away from me. Let me give you an example. When you become unemployed, that's a huge obstacle. But you are not distracted. That is to say, you are not anxious because your eyes are focused on Jesus Christ. And when the Satan comes into your ear and whispers, you see, you can't trust Jesus. You see, you got to take things into your own hands. You see, you got to look after yourself. When you are being distracted because you become anxious, that's the same word, then the Satan, the devil, he will come and tempt you. And that's when you say, God is near me. Jesus is living within me. And therefore, I resist the devil. Let's move on. When anxiety hits you like waves in the sea, Jesus' peace lifts you in His peace, right? So number one, God's nearness. And number two, by your prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of what? Thanksgiving. Let me read verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with what? With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here comes the promise. Here's the promise if you follow, obey this commandment and instruction, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, when you face obstacles, before they become anxiety in you, before the devil tempts you, before you get distracted and have the peace of God robbed out of you, God is saying, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests, your supplications, what you need. Tell God what you need, but with thanksgiving. Let me put this this way. Pray thankfully in advance. Before God responds to your prayers, start praying in advance with thanksgiving that God will be faithful to you, that God will come through, that God will fill you up with more peace and upon more peace and upon more peace. And when that happens, the peace of God that transcends, rises above, both concretely but also mysteriously. I don't know how this happens, but I feel, experience God's peace in the midst of all the obstacles. Let me give you one illustration, and let me just ask, forgive me for using personal reference, but I want to use this and share this with you so that the Holy Spirit may encourage you, but at the same time, this is what's happening to me, and I am so thankful, and I have to give God the glory. So let me share my testimony. It's been a tough season at church lately. You can empathize with it, and you can respect that since the pandemic, we couldn't gather physically. And, you know, church is a community. Church is all about the people. It's all about the relationships. And ever since we couldn't gather together, and that was a huge obstacle for our ministry. And how are we going to reach people to Jesus if we can't meet together? And on top of that, the perfect storm. The pandemic happened. We can't gather as church. Oh no, what's going to happen? I could have been anxious. And if truth be told, I became very close being anxious, and fairly so. But then the economic downturn, you know, people are losing jobs and we had to lay off staff, and things went from bad to worse. And now I am facing, how long is this going to last? How long do we stay in this limbo? Okay? And what's going to happen in the near future? What will church look like? How are we going to reach people in this? Now, here's the point. If I remain distracted, if I begin feeling anxious, if I let the anxiety hit me time after time after time after time, okay, without guarding myself, without standing firm on my ground, okay, then I would be a basket case. However, I began praying this thanksgiving. I began saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are in control. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the founding pastor and the senior pastor of this church. Thank you, Jesus. We are on your staff. You're the boss. Thank you, Jesus, that you will provide. Thank you, Jesus, you're sending your Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of Mosaic House Church family. And thank you, Jesus, that you're reaching more people even now digitally. Thank you, Jesus, that everything will be all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What am I doing? I am thanking Him in advance with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And then what happens? What's the promise? Then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts. And friends, here's what happened. I wasn't worried anymore. I was not as anxious anymore. Strange, mysterious. But what I began noticing was God is changing my focus. Jesus is in control. Therefore, I thank Him already. So, when anxiety hits you, Jesus' peace lifts you by God's nearness. And number two, by your prayers of thanksgiving. And lastly, by the power of community. By the power of community. Let me read verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into what? Practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm in prison. When he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, he was in prison and he was facing execution. So at best, he'll be released, but currently he's in prison. Nothing to be thankful for, really. And at worst, he'll be executed, he'll be beheaded. But then Paul is saying, look what I'm doing. I am praying to God. I am experiencing God's nearness, and there's much thanksgiving in my heart. And I am experiencing the peace that transcends what's happening around me. I have peace of God shaping me. You see me doing that. You hear me doing that. Learn from me. Put it into practice yourself. Friends, this peace of God, it is given to the body of Christ. It's not an individual or privatized gift. It's given to the body of Christ, to the community. So as you work it out, as you practice it, shaping your heart and your mind according to the power of your community, that's where this is happening exponentially. I need you. You need me. We need one another. We co-depend on one another. And when I see you overcoming your obstacles in the peace of Christ, that inspires me. And when you see me doing the same thing, that inspires you. And that's why here's the power of community. So friends, let me encourage you. Let the Holy Spirit inspire you. Work this out. Practice this in your house churches. It's not sufficient for you and me just to receive the message on Sunday and do nothing about it. We need to practice it, and it's best practiced, best lived out in a smaller, trust-built community, and we call that house churches. So find one, and for those of you who are in a house church, work this out this week. Practice it together. Let me move to the second application. Verse 2, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord? Yes. And I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the Book of Life. Apparently, there were two ladies in the church, and they were Paul's followers. They helped Paul to plant a church, and they were godly women, and they did much for the church and to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. But something happened to their relationship. They are no longer at peace. Their relationship is broken. And the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at large, help these women be of the same mind in Christ. Bring them into peace. Friends, if you are not right with your brother or sister in the body of Christ, if you are divided, if you're not unified, if there is a rift in your relationship, that affects us all. That could become a source of anxiety for the whole body of Christ, for the whole community. And that's why it's so important for you and me to be of one mind, of one spirit, of one baptism, and that we are unified and stand in solidarity. Okay? Let me conclude. The theme and the goal. When anxiety hits you, Jesus' peace lifts you by God's nearness, by your prayers of thanksgiving, and by the power of the community. Horatio, my hero friend, true story. He was a man of God. He lost his son when the child was four years old to a tragic illness. And he lost everything as a businessman in the Great Fire in Chicago back in 1871. And he sent his wife Anna and four daughters on the ship across the Atlantic Ocean. Hey, you go to England and rest there for a while. Let me come and join you later. On their way to England, their ship had a collision with another vessel, and many people perished. Anna, arriving in England, she sent this famous telegraph, just two words. Only one survived. Saved alone. Horatio got on the next ship, and he was coming to his wife, Anna, and on the way in the Atlantic Ocean, where his daughters perished, right at that moment, he wrote these words down. Listen to these. The famous song, "It Is Well With My Soul." He wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Our friend Horatio received this power of peace with which he can overcome the obstacles. So friends, let Jesus' peace lift you both now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Christ, we receive your peace that transcends all understanding. And my friends, offer this prayer. God is calling you. Jesus is calling you. The Holy Spirit is calling you. Commit your life to Jesus for the first time or for the 1,000th time. We need to recommit our lives and receive this peace. Guard your hearts, guard your minds, and stand firm, protect it, preserve it, receive it, retain it in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, now. Father, in the name of Christ, help us to spread this peace to our loved ones all over the city. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And God's people say together, Amen.